WGBB. From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Don't change that dial. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station, it's time for...
Listen up, Jesus is on the air. You make such a production out of the beginning of the show.
Well, that's the whole...
I feel like I'm with a professional.
Well, by now, it's almost our 70th show. We are professionals.
Well, when we reach 70, we're catching up to our age, so we better watch out for that.
And that was Dr. Palmer, PhD. I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, PhD, and we have a fabulous guest today. Who is that guest, Palmer?
Harry. And other than that, we're not going to say anything else. Harry is our guest, and he's a spy from outer space, and we're going to hear all of his spaced-out talk today. How's that?
And we're here to tell you we love Jesus.
That's right. And we're also here to tell that everybody who's listening, God is love. That's really the bottom line. God is love. And his Holy Spirit is such a comforter, that you just can't get away from his love. God is love. And this is Jim Cowan who's going to sing this. Doesn't that sound ominous? Whoa, watch it. Here comes the love.
Thank you.
love today. And God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are two divine persons totally in love with each other. And that love is another divine person. That person is the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk about God's love today.
Which is everlasting.
Yes, it is. And we had an opportunity to do a Life in the Spirit seminar at St. Catherine of Siena about 2 weeks ago.
It was great.
It was wonderful. And we had a nice group of people. And one of the things that really set the tone for the whole day was Maureen Medich's opening talk, God is Love. And she did such a nice job. I'd like to play that talk now. And when I spoke to Maureen on the phone, I said, you know, we want to use it. And she said, fine, but please tell everybody some of it came from YouTube and off the internet. I don't want anyone to think that I would not give proper credit where credit is due. Isn't that neat? So here's Maureen. Let's listen to what she says about God is love.
And my talk is God's love. Does anyone here not know that God loves us? Or that God himself is love? Because if you know that, then I could be finished and I could sit down. But let me just expand for a minute. I want to speak just for a moment about that very first Pentecost. This is a perfect time of year to be doing this Life in the Spirit seminar during this Easter season. Happy Easter to all of you. We're still in the octave of Easter. And in a number of days, we'll be celebrating Pentecost all over again. But on that first Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out in a way that he had never been dispersed before. The Spirit had made visitations to the earth when Mary was pregnant and she went to visit Elizabeth. The Spirit inside, the baby inside of her, leapt with joy. The Holy Spirit recognizing God present in the world. And there were other times, but on this day it was very different. And you have to remember, as we read back in the scriptures, what it was like for 50 days. These people, these men, the 12 men, and about 108 others, there was about 120 disciples in the room. They had lived with Jesus for 3 years. They saw his miracles and signs and wonders. And even some of those signs and wonders had come from their own hands by the power of Jesus. And they saw his death, a horrible death. They denied him. They ran away from him. And yet, they saw him risen from the dead. They were locked inside a room for fear of their own lives. They didn't want that to happen to them. So they were locked in fear. And yet, Jesus came through those very locked doors and visited to them. And they still were not able to go out and share with the world the story of that Easter. So what happened? What changed? They didn't have the courage or the strength to share that experience. Scripture says that they spent their day in prayer, and the community was of one heart and one mind. And then suddenly, in the fullness of time, on a Sunday morning, during their prayer, Scripture says that there was a mighty rushing wind that shook the house where they lived, and tongues as of fire came and rested on each and every person in the room, not just the 12, not just a select few, every single one that was part of that community. The Spirit was poured out upon that day. It was so amazing that the people that had come to Jerusalem to honestly celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, which in the Jewish tradition was different than what we consider Pentecost Sunday. But they were in Jerusalem, and they heard the commotion. They heard the praising and the singing and the worship of the Lord. And they knew that something happened in that home. They were looking for an ordinary answer. Those men must be drunk. They must be having a party in there. Something is not right. And yet, then Peter stood up, the same man who denied Jesus, the same man who was locked in a room for 50 days for fear of his own life, stood up and had the courage and the strength and the power to share the scripture, to share the life and the love of Jesus Christ, crucified and raised from the dead. And at that moment, 3,000 people who were in Jerusalem were converted and became part of the Christian community that very morning. That is the power of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit on a life that is surrendered to God. It didn't happen, it may seem like it happened overnight, but remember, Peter spent 3 years with Jesus. So it was a gradual thing that when the Spirit came, he was able to move forward and share the story. The Life in the Spirit seminars today are an answer to Pope John XXIII's prayer in the Second Vatican Council in the 1960s, when his prayer was, to renew in our day, Lord, as a new Pentecost. Today we're going to speak about God's love, as Pat said. And how do we define love? As a person, often I define love in somebody that I love, somebody that makes me feel good, somebody that loves me back, somebody that fulfills the conditions of what I think I should receive from somebody before I can even love them. How many times have you heard or even said, oh, I love you because you're so adorable, or because you take care of me, or because you're fun to be with? All love is often based on feelings and emotions that can change from 1 minute to the next. Our divorce rate is proof of that. There isn't a bride and groom that doesn't stand at any altar professing their love for one another that really expects to be divorced. They just don't. They expect to love one another for the rest of their lives. And at some point when they don't feel love, they walk away. They call it quits. Well, God's love is not like that. God's love is completely unconditional. It's different from our love. It's not based on feelings or emotions. And he doesn't love us because we're lovable, because sometimes I'm just not. He doesn't love us because we make him feel good. He loves us because he is love. He created us to have a relationship with him. And he sacrificed his own son, and his son willingly died for us to restore that relationship. The very essence of God's being, his personality, his very nature, is love. God's love for us is unconditional, and there is nothing we can do to earn it. We can't be good enough. We don't have to be perfect and do everything right before we receive it. It is God's free gift to us, no strings attached, and it's a lifelong gift. The unconditional love is given to us because we are his creation. We are his children. You can't earn unconditional love. God says you are worthy of his love solely because he desires to love you. There is nothing we can do to win more of God's love. In fact, there's no way that we can get God to love us any more than he loves us right this moment. All through the Word of God, it says that God is love over and over and over again. God loves us and wants to be in a relationship with us. He doesn't want us to love him from afar. This new life has already begun in us in our baptism, in confirmation, and at the Eucharist. We have been baptized in the name of the Holy Trinity, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This seminar is one way, it's an opportunity to help us rediscover this gift. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm sure many of you have seen this scripture at sporting events or on TV. People will hold up signs that say John 3:16. It's quite a popular scripture, and it gets to the heart of the matter. God loved the world that he gave his only Son, that we would not perish, but that we would have everlasting life. God, the creator of the universe, loves us that much. It's an awesome thought to think that God would send his Son so that we might have life, and then send his Spirit so that we might know him better than anyone or anything else. Another verse in scripture about God's love is found in Romans 5:8. And it says, but God commands his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In this and in John 3:16, we find no conditions placed on God's love. God doesn't say, as soon as you clean up your act, I'll love you. Nor does he say, I'll sacrifice my Son if you promise to love me back. In fact, in Romans 5, we find just the opposite. God wants us to know that his love is unconditional. So he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us while we were unlovable sinners. Accept this unconditional gift that God offers to you. Trust that the God who would love us so much has gifts and fruits and blessings just for you, and he is waiting to unleash his Spirit in you in the gentle quietness of a new Pentecost in your life. Jeremiah 29 says, when you call to me and come to me, I will listen. When you seek me, you will find me. Last night, as I was putting the finishing touches together on God's love, I put into the search engine God's love. And what came up was on YouTube, God's love letter. And it's a series of images, different beautiful pictures, but with each one came another word of scripture, another way that God was reaching out to you. And I wasn't able to set up the laptop. It's not working properly. But I would have loved to have just shown you the images. It started with the baby, of a beautiful baby. And that's God's love for us. And a beautiful sunset, and a beautiful sunrise, and a beautiful waterfall, and trees and flowers. That is God crying out to creation, his love for us, constantly trying to get our attention. But his greatest love for us is right here on the cross. That's God's greatest love, that he would sacrifice. Anyone that has a child will know it's impossible to sacrifice your child. And yet God willingly did it, because before the foundations of the earth, he saw you and he saw me and he said, it's worth it. It's worth it. I love him so much that I will sacrifice my own son to reconcile us. And the scripture is God's love letter to you. This word in scripture says became flesh. Jesus, the word of God, the word of God. Read your scriptures daily. Have God speak to you. Let me read to you some of the things that were on that YouTube. You may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all of your ways. Even the hairs on your head are numbered. When I was reading that, I just saw my niece the other day, and she's pregnant with her first child. And she had a sonogram, and she was talking about, oh, Tommy and I were trying to count the toes and count the fingers and everything. And when I read that, we look at the tiny details when a new baby is born. Do they have all their fingers? Do they have all their toes? You know what God's doing? He loves every tiny detail about us. He counts the hairs on our head. And he knows all the organs that are inside of us. He knows every intimate detail about us. God, our Father, loves us so much that he cares about the tiny details. Okay. You are made in my image. I also think about when a child is born, you know, one side of the family will say, oh, he looks just like Johnny. And the other side of the family will say, oh, he looks just like Mary. And you know what God says? You are made in my image. We look just like God. That's how God pours out his love for us. Again, in me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You are not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. And then I thought about many new parents will start a baby book, and they'll write down the first time the baby smiled, or this new thing, or that new thing. Well, guess what? God, Father, loves us and writes us in his book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and I knit you together in my mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who do not know me. I am not distant and angry, but I am the complete expression of love. It is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet your needs. My plans for your future have always been filled with hope. I will never stop doing good for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you the great and marvelous things I have in store. You will seek me with your heart, and you will find me. I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all of your troubles. When you're brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe every tear from your eyes, and I will take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my own Son, Jesus. He came to demonstrate for you that I am not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved so that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son, Jesus, you receive me. And nothing, nothing will ever separate you from my love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen.
I love that talk.
That was magnificent.
Oh, I love it, because it's such a mixture of tenderness and gentleness in Scripture. And for me, Maureen, I thank you. I know you're not here in the studio, but I thank you for that gentle, loving picture of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful?
And she portrayed God's love so explicitly that I got the chills while she was talking.
I did too. And I know, Harry, you were there that day as well. This is our man from outer space, Harry. Harry?
It was she was so right on target with everything she said about God's love.
And I was led, by the way, to John 16 while she was talking. And it says, Jesus said, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God.
Yeah.
So it's a round circle. It's God's love, Jesus' love, and it all goes together.
And that's why we're trying to get so many parishes to do a day of prayer, a Life in the Spirit seminar, so that people will realize the Scripture is not just words. It's God, and he's alive, and he wants a personal, intimate relationship with each one of us, even though we feel most unworthy. He wants to be with us here, Harry.
And the best way to spread that love and to explain God's love is to have these missions that you're talking about.
And you have to experience it. You were going to say something.
Well, the thing that strikes me is that in Yankee Stadium a few years ago, I heard Pope Benedict say, the most important thing that you can do as a Catholic is to have a personal relationship with Jesus.
And Harry, you were changed by God's love. And maybe you can tell us a little bit, because Harry also talked at the seminar, but we got him here live today.
He's all ours today.
He doesn't like a phonograph needle on his head.
Well, okay, I'll start.
Okay, Harry.
To give you my talk, such as it is. One of my many faults is taking myself much too seriously. And sitting here in a very small room with two
nuts.
Adult gentlemen,
two wackos.
Nuts.
Who have PhD after their name, has loosened me up considerably.
Do you know what PhD stands for?
Tell him. Don't tell him.
Piled higher and deeper.
And he's looking at me when he said that.
Because they don't take themselves seriously. And I know what they're carrying around. So I know the Lord loves them deeply.
Thank you.
Well, my story is I was born into a small family. Just my mother, my father, and one older sister who was 4 years older than I. And from the outside, it was a perfect family. We lived in a very comfortable apartment. We all had our own room. We had living room, dining room. It was a beautiful place to live. And we had a vacation home on the beach. But on the inside, it wasn't perfect. On the inside, it was a war zone. And the war was all about my father's drinking and my mother's trying to stop him from drinking. And I didn't know that there was anything exceptional about that. I just thought that's just the way life is. But I grew up with a lot of defenses. We were a religious family, a lot of church going. My sister went to Catholic schools, as I did. She went through college. I went through high school. And we learned, or at least I learned, a lot about doctrine, a lot about this great institution of the church and how important it was to be a member of this institution. And I kind of believed that just being a member of this institution made me special, and that was what was going to save me. But somehow or other, the message of Jesus Christ, in fact, his commandment, said, I give you this commandment, love one another as I have loved you. Well, that, if I heard it, I didn't listen to it, because love was not part of my constitution. I didn't want to reach out to people, and I didn't want people reaching out to me. And that's kind of the way I grew up. In my teen years, when I was in high school, I got a job on a fishing boat, and I fell in love with the sea. I loved the moods of the sea, the calm and the storms. I thought I knew the storms on the fish boat. I found out later they got a lot rougher than that. But anyway, I applied for the Merchant Marine Academy at Kings Point, and I was accepted there. And went to school for 4 years there, with 1 year at sea. And while I was there, I met the romantic love of my life, who lived in Garden City. And fortunately, romantic love eventually, after lots of trials, turned into true love. It took a while. After graduation, about a year after I graduated, we were married, and I continued to go to sea. We had two premature children born, a boy and then a girl, and they lived only a few hours and died. And that's when I knew I couldn't keep going to sea. I had to get home and be with my wife, or our marriage was not going to survive. I came home. I sort of fell into the insurance business, which treated me well. And in the next 10 years, we had seven children. And it was crazy. I mean, it really was crazy.
Really?
It was crazy for us, and I only had three.
And I continued to, you know, I had the habit of going to church. I continued to go to church. And I went on retreats. I used to go on a retreat every year. And 1 year, they changed the format a little bit. They said, stand up and tell us something about yourself. Well, all the retreatants got up and gave our name, rank, and serial number and promptly sat down. But there was a a Jesuit brother in this retreat house, and I had seen him there for a few years before that.
Is that Bernie Shannon?
It was Bernie Shannon.
Yeah.
And Bernie Shannon, when I first met him, was a pretty troubled man. You could see it. But he wasn't troubled this night. He stood up and he, as I say, told us who he was. Told us about his mental illness, how he had been committed to a mental hospital. Told us about the addictions in his family. All kinds of addictions. Overeating, alcohol abuse, gambling. And I was amazed that anybody could stand up in a room full of strangers and tell them who he was. And I could identify with his feelings. It was an extraordinary experience. Anyway, a few years after that, one of my son's behavior got so bad that I knew I had to do something. And I called Bernie Shannon, and he got me into 12-step programs, which was the beginning of my healing. Because in those rooms, God works very powerfully. And it was there I began to learn to reach out to others and to allow others to reach out to me. I was learning how to love. Kind of late in life, but I was learning how to love. Unfortunately, two of my sons who were addicted, although they were in program, they died of their addictions. And a third of my sons was killed in a car crash where the other driver was DWI. So I can say that the abuse of alcohol and other drugs has had a very powerful effect on my life. But it was the third of my sons to die was Mike. This happened over a period of 10 years. And the third of my sons to die was Michael. And at his funeral, the day of his funeral, the whole family was gathered around his casket. And my wife, who was a very strong lady who controls her emotions, she just lost it. She was in a paroxysm of grief. And I was looking at her helplessly, and I said to the Lord, I've got to help her, but I can't. You've got to help me. And the thought started to run through my mind, the phrase, first line from one of the lines from the hymn of St. Francis, make me a channel of your peace. And incredibly, a power that was not of me, was not my power, began to fill me. And I put my arms around my wife, and that power flowed into her. And she felt it immediately. And she calmed right down. She said, Harry, where did all this strength come from? And I said, it wasn't me. And she got my daughters, and I embraced my daughters, and that power flowed into them too. So the Lord, I have found, usually works with me through other people, but on this day he worked directly. And it's an event I'll never forget, and he got us through a very difficult day in our lives. I got interested in healing. I guess because of that experience, I felt the Lord had used me that day in a special way. And I had gotten into prayer groups, and we went one day over to an event that John had organized, a workshop for healing. And while I was there, I was prayed over. Ed Eckhart prayed over me with a friend of his named Mark, part of his prayer team. And Ed said, your right leg is shorter than your left leg. I was being prayed over because I had prostate cancer. What's this got to do with prostate cancer? Anyway, he ordered my leg in the name of Jesus Christ to assume its proper position. Inadvertently, my leg shot out, went back in. He said, stand up. I stood up. Back pain I had had for a long time was gone. Then they prayed for my cancer. Well, I couldn't feel anything. But I had to see the doctor within a few days. And I felt, I was telling everybody what had happened to me. And I told the doctor, I think I'm healed. I want to have another PSA test. Well, my PSA had been 10. After I was prayed over, it went down to 2.5. Well, the doctor and the nurses were astonished. So I do believe in the healing power of God. Physical healing, spiritual healing, and emotional healing. I also got into another prayer group where we journal. And the very first night they talked to us about journaling, I was asked to journal on the first line of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah says, Jeremiah doesn't say, God says to Jeremiah, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, and I have appointed you as my prophet. And I thought, boy. So I wrote and I asked God, what was I like before I was formed in my mother's womb? And the answer I got was, you were happy. You were always laughing. You were the most joyous kid. So then I wrote, then why did you put me in an alcoholic home? And the answer I got was, Harry, this is your inheritance. My love is enough for you. Wow. Wow. I don't have to keep feeling sorry for myself. This is my inheritance. It's okay. So that was a very healing moment. And I continue to journal. I think it's very important. Another way in which God's love has touched me deeply is in the healing of the family tree. I became aware of this through prayer groups, that there are prayers specifically for healing of the family tree, intergenerational healing. And I started to pray those prayers, first the formal prayers, and then I just pray specifically for my father, Harry, my mother, Virginia, my sister, Jenna, their parents, John Jay, a mother, my father's mother, I never knew her name. She died when he was an infant. My mother's father, John Jay, and he also died when my mother was an infant. My grandmother's father, O'Connor, and some of them I don't know, but I know vaguely who they were. And I try to pray for them every day. And then down, I pray for my children. pray for my grandchildren. And all I can say is, I've been doing this for a few years. My attitude toward my parents has changed totally. I can say with honesty, I love them.
Wow.
I love them.
Wow.
And I could never have done that.
No.
I could never have done that. So this powerful healing in the healing of the family tree. And we had over at St. Aidan's just a few weeks ago, they had a mass for the healing of the family tree. And that's so important. The Eucharist, you know, we can pray all we want. The Eucharist, this is God's, the renewal of God's sacrifice. How healing is that? It's a tremendous element of healing.
We just had a night of healing last night at St. Aidan's again. And you just stood up and did what Bernie Shannon did. And you did it over the radio to tell people how God has been with you through your entire life. And last night over at St. Aidan's, I pray a lot and I get a lot of words. And I ask God, you know, What can we do other than just talk? And he had me pick out 200 letters and put them in an envelope. And the talk was really just to tell people that they were going to get something from God in writing. Anyway, you could feel God's love in the room. People were touched. Harry, you're a wonderful man, and you're wonderful to stand up and to just tell people how God has led you through the tragedy in your life and have got you to the point where you can say, I truly love my parents. Isn't that beautiful?
And just so you know, Harry, I got a text message just now from one of our very loyal listeners, and it says simply, Harry is excellent, wonderful.
Yeah. And the power of the spoken word, especially going out over airwaves, is just totally unbelievable. Maureen gave her talk at the Life in the Spirit seminar 2 weeks ago. To tell you the truth, I was so preoccupied with stuff that day, I didn't really get the full impact of what she was saying. And when I listened to it afterwards and then put it together for the program today and listened to it again, that's a powerful talk. And I heard your talk, Harry. And you touched me that day, but also you touched me in a different way today because your heart came through. The change that God had made in you through his love is so apparent. It's so strong, isn't it?
It touched many, many souls, Harry. I can guarantee you that. And by the way, when you listen to that disc, was that my disc that you were listening to or
yes,
your disc?
Your disc.
Oh, thank you, Dr.
Yeah.
Palmer.
But you know,
you should give me credit about those things.
Well, you're beyond credit.
I love you, Dr. Palmer.
I thought of giving credit, but you know, I like to give credit where credit is due. You know, and we got to be careful about giving all this credit.
Okay.
But you know, there's one thing that really stands out in my mind is that we ask God for more love and more of his power. And that's what we're going to ask that for every listener. Every listener.
I just got another text. It says, tell Harry how much I love him.
Wow. Wow.
You're touching souls, Harry.
Yeah.
Well, it's... We can get full of ourselves very easily, but it's really... the Lord uses us to heal other people.
And you're healing. You are.
More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. And I will worship.
love.
A telephone ringing. That's good.
Third text that says, "Wonderful, great show. Harry's testimony is unbelievable." This is the third text I got. Yeah. Now I'm getting a phone call, and I don't know what that's all about. But Harry, you won the hearts. You know what? You boost our ratings.
Don't start heading down here. I'll be happy.
All right, Palmer. I guess I'm out.
What a testimony to God's love. What a testimony to God. The whole program, just from Maureen's talk and to Harry's testimony. And we know, listeners, that you're missing Saints Alive, and we know that you're going to miss our program.
Write letters. Complain to this guy, because I think I'm not going to vote for him next year.
But it's God's love that takes precedence over anything.
Yes.
And anything that we do, it's God's love.
The scheduled saint was St. Catherine Part 2.
Yeah, well, get St. Catherine another time.
We'll get him
God's
next,
love
get
is,
her next
God's
week.
Love is more important than what we want to do on our shows. And we know that everyone listening has been touched. And once you get God's love and you pass it on to others, then you're able to have his peace. You're able to have his peace. And so we pray for everybody that there would be peace on earth. Peace on earth for everybody as we say goodbye. And Tony, be at peace. We'll get St. Catherine next time.
I'll try to be at peace.
Good.
But I'm not voting for you next time.
Harry, thank you again.
Great job, Harry.
Well, thank you very much for having me here.
And I just want to lift up in prayer. I got a phone call this morning for a Joan Asipo who is suffering from cancer, and ask that we pray for her.
Okay.